WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year to those of you celebrating. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour brought to you by the Maryland Lottery is on hiatus until the early part of January. I am hoping that at some point in January, we were going to have some playoff football. I put weekends aside, and Luke, I might be getting some weekends back at the end of January. I'm not sure. I don't want them back, but certainly based on where we are, there may be a Lamar miracle in all of this, but maybe not so much on playoff times.
Well, at the same time, they're in the number seven spot, at least, you know, as you finish Sunday. And I mean, there's tiebreakers and the Miami Dolphins and the Chargers and I mean the Raiders and go down the list. I mean, it's there's so much of that, but you don't want to be in that part of the playoff field, right? You don't want to be looking at, all right, well, if this team wins and this team loses and the Ravens have a better conference record than that, you don't want that. You want to be winning a division. You want to be in control of your path to the playoffs, and the Ravens aren't that right now. Now, they're still in a position where they have two home games. If they win both of those home games, they are in a very high probability of making the playoffs then via the division, which is less of a chance because you're depending on the Bengals to lose, or via the wild card, which is where they're really looking right now. So, but it's not feeling good when you've lost four in a row and you lose in the way that they lost on Sunday. Now, they'll have COVID guys that should be coming back. I think you look at the guys that were placed on the list late last week, Chris Westry, Jimmy Smith, guys like that. They'll be exceeding their 10 days prior to Sunday. But where I think it's really interesting, and as much as we'll talk about the defense, and we need to when they give up 41 points and Joe Burrow embarrasses them, quite frankly, but or whoever's out there in that secondary. But I think what's most fascinating at this point in time, and you just mentioned a Lamar miracle, where is Lamar Jackson? Because I think you look at what happened at the end of the week. Tyler Huntley misses Friday's practice with what was originally hoped to be a non-COVID illness, and then he tests positive Saturday morning. For Lamar Jackson to not even make the trip to Cincinnati, that, I mean, you don't have to be an expert in logic to wonder and to beg the question then, how close is he to playing if he can't even go to Cincinnati and be the emergency backup to the point where the Ravens signed Kenji Bahar, Calvert Hall kid, you know, good story, Monmouth, all that. But he was a camp arm in spring and summer. I mean, yeah, it was great that you could add him and he kind of sort of knows the offense, but this is a guy who they haven't even kept on the practice squad. So for them to not even have Lamar make the trip, and I know some people will speculate, maybe even John Harbaugh will say it, that maybe they did that just because of where they are from a COVID standpoint as a league, as a team, where it's like any player that's not healthy enough to play is not going to travel. But I don't know, man. I see that, and I'm not questioning Lamar's toughness here. It's nothing like that. But if you're not even having him travel, that he's not even healthy enough, that he's not 80% and can be the backup if Josh Johnson turns his ankle or sprains his knee on the first drive, then I'm really wondering if he's going to be available for the Rams. Or if he is, how close is he to 100%? Because, you know, we talked about it. And look, Josh Johnson was a great story on Sunday, a story that's wiped out when your defense can't get force a punt the entire game. But let's face it, we're still talking about upside here, right? I mean, Lamar Jackson, when he is playing at his best, is an MVP quarterback. He has already proven that in his young NFL career. Tyler Huntley has played admirably, has played well. You feel for the kid because he had a chance to really do some special things against the Bengals, even though Johnny Unitas in his prime wouldn't have mattered. You know, could have been out there and it wouldn't have mattered for the Ravens because their defense couldn't stop anybody. But if you're talking in terms of upside, clearly Lamar Jackson gives you more upside than Tyler Huntley or Josh Johnson at this point in time. Is it going to be the best version of Lamar? Well, time will tell. And until he gets back on the field, it's a moot point. But it's really an example of, you know, that upside I'm talking about. And the same way we talked about it when you lose J.K. Dobbins or you lose Ronnie Stanley at left tackle, you lose Marcus Peters and then Marlon Humphrey at corner. These are upside guys. These are guys that you're either already paying a lot of money to or guys that you're thinking about paying a lot of money to at some point in the not too distant future. When you're missing those guys, it really does cap your ceiling more so. And I think that a great example of that for me, and I wrote about this at BaltimorePositive.com, the game felt like it was over when the Ravens had just scored the touchdown inside 2 minutes. It was a 10-point game. They had Cincinnati at 3rd and 16. They had 2 timeouts remaining with what, 1:12 to go in the first half. If you get a stop there, and then in a 2-minute offense, say you at least get a Justin Tucker field goal and you make it a 7-point game, you're getting the kickoff to open the second half. You've got a chance there for scores on back-to-back possessions. That was your chance to turn this game into a shootout where you had a puncher's chance at least. They still probably wouldn't have won because their defense couldn't stop anyone. But that 3rd and 16 play, you see what Joe Burrow does, and T. Higgins just makes a phenomenal high-point catch. Game was over at that point. And that play right there, they're getting plays like that from Mark Andrews, who's been unbelievable, but they don't have nearly enough players on either side of the ball doing those kind of things at this point in time. And I think they're just really hurting from an upside perspective. And that's where, again, you go back to, okay, is this the week for Lamar Jackson? But if he's not even traveling to Cincinnati, just how close is he? I mean, we know, Adam Schefter's reported it's a bone bruise. John Harbaugh won't say whether, said it was an ankle sprain for 2 weeks. I mean, whatever it is, it's clearly something that's cost him now nearly 3 full games. And at this point, it's kind of, you'll believe it when you see it, when he's going to get back on the field. At least he's got to practice at this point. So we'll have an indication there. But it's just so tough envisioning, even with them in a playoff spot, through Sunday's action and still having a chance if they win these last 2 games. If you actually want to do anything, you need Lamar Jackson out there. And you need Lamar Jackson playing well, more like he did early in the season, not the guy who was struggling in November. But it's just very, very tough with everything they're dealing with. And even getting guys back, they have other guys who are hurt. Anthony Averett gets hurt on Sunday. It's very, very tough trying to add it all up and piece it together and think, one, this team will make the playoffs, but two, and this is really what matters, they have a chance to do anything. And it's just, it's very, very difficult envisioning that at this point in time when you've lost 4 in a row. And I mean, your defense can't stop anybody on Sunday afternoon in Cincinnati.
He is Luke Jones. He's going to be in Owings Mills all week long. It's all brought to you by Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. I took advantage of the free coffee on the app on Christmas Day. And, that's 2 sponsors now. I had to figure out my password on my app. So the holidays are keeping me in check with free ham at Wise and making sure my coffee's together. I actually had some Western fries to defy Max Weiss from Baltimore Magazine about their deliciousness. So we'll debate that on another day. But certainly something that can't be debated here, for us, for our purposes, the division record, right? Like, this thing sort of fell apart the way the league puts these schedules together. The games are weighted at the end. They just are. That's why we're playing Cincinnati and Cleveland and Pittsburgh a couple of times. This is what the league wanted. I don't think the league realized COVID was coming, but more than that, the injuries, the 17th game that we're going to add to all of this now, that other than the Chiefs, right? I mean, I don't know that anybody looks like they're out there playing with their real football team.
I mean, well, Cincinnati's been pretty healthy. I mean, that's one thing you can point to. I mean, they've had, no one's getting through a year without losing. You're not getting through a year with 0 injuries. That's why I understand the sentiment, but I hear people say, imagine if the Ravens were fully healthy. Well, that doesn't really happen. Even it didn't happen 2 years ago. Tony Jefferson got hurt and Pernell McPhee got hurt. And they had some of that. They didn't have anything close to where they are now. But
I mean, the Tony Jefferson that came back last week and starred on the podium after the game.
Yeah. I mean, the Tony Jefferson who ended up playing a lot and, actually did some nice things. I think, it would be
2
interesting.
Weeks ago, he's sitting at home probably thinking he's never going to be on a field again, right?
You wonder.
I know Tony Jefferson likes to, have a hella party, or whatever. But if we got together with Tony Jefferson and just talk for an hour when the season's over, it's kind of amazing that he's right. Like for these elder statesmen to get one more chance, for Josh Johnson to go out there and use 14 years and 13 teams and XFL experience and lead a legitimate drive down the field against a team that's going to be playing in January, You know, hats off to any of these guys. Josh Bynes, who's been – every time he makes a tackle, they're like, this is Josh Bynes' third turn of duty with the Ravens, which you know, basically means they couldn't find anybody else to play, and Josh has been fine. But he's – you mentioned in the last segment how many Calais Campbells and Wolf and all these guys, Brandon Williams, that might not be back, and what are they going to do with money and all that. I mean, Josh Bynes, a guy out there running around like he's going to be here forever. He's 30-something too. This is why I talked even more in last segment about, like – what's really going to happen here? I mean, they've now been outclassed in their division. The Steelers have all sorts of pickup they're going to have to do when this is over with. And it feels like Roethlisberger is going to play his last game ever here 2 weeks from now, right? And the Browns are still like a mess. They got screwed the other day, and that's fine. They're the Browns. The Charlie Browns at Christmas time. I love that. But the Ravens have the sort of fall from grace this year. It feels temporary to me because it feels like they can pick things up. But the salary cap, but Lamar and his contract, but the aging out of a lot of players. All along, this is a mess that creates a real sort of Humpty Dumpty effect for the offseason, I think, that they're going to look up and have not played well in the division. They're going to look up and be a 500 team. They're going to look up and not know much more about their quarterback than they already know, that they're going to have to give a couple $100 million to. This is a weird sort of couple weeks for them, because I don't think they're going to learn much in the next 2 weeks other than Tony Jefferson's got a lot of heart. You know what I mean? And they're going to learn that because they're going to go to post with Kevon Seymour and the rest of these guys that aren't a factor in the future at all. But that's all that sort of matters to the fans here once this is over. It's almost like we're Jets fans now. Who are we drafting, man?
Well, but it's not that, because they still have a chance, and this organization is what it is because they can balance those long-term questions that you just mentioned with also they're trying to win this week. They're trying to make the playoffs. They're trying to see if they get a chance to roll the dice in January. I mean, Buck Showalter used to always say that about, you know, you get a chance to roll the dice in October. It's the same thing in January. But
hey, dude,
you're right.
If they're playing a game 2 weeks from now, like, I'll say this because you and I will be here. Because we're accountable like that, right? If we're sitting here 2 weeks from now and they're playing a playoff game, that would be a redemption unto itself, would it not? I mean, that would be coach of the year shit, quite frankly, right? Like, literally, if they win these next two games and they have a seat and they get to go to Buffalo, or I guess Kansas City would have the bye, right? So who would it be? Pick any of the three places they can wind up playing, Cincinnati being one of them, right? That if they have to go play that game as a 7 seed, it would be its own redemption. It would be its own comeback story, I think.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, I'm not gonna.
I'm not giving style points for making the playoffs, but at this point, I would. At this point, I said, if they made the playoffs with this, God bless them. And that would probably, to your point, mean that Lamar has to come back and play this week.
Right. I mean, and that's part of it too. I mean, you just need some of these guys back, and they're going to get some of these COVID guys back. Now, Tyler Huntley could be touch and go because it happened Saturday. And if you kind of look around the league, yeah, there've been some guys who have come back, you know, and of course we're talking about vaccinated players here who've come back in 4 or 5 days, but there've also been a lot of guys who've come back and it's 8 or 9. I mean, look at the Ravens. I mean, Chris Westry was placed on COVID the Saturday before the Green Bay game, and he's missed 2 games now. So if Tyler Huntley's on the same kind of path there, then, and if Lamar Jackson's ankle isn't right, it could be Josh Johnson again. So,
well, look at the Chiefs. They didn't get Kelce back, but they got the other guy back, right?
They got Hill, and they had a bunch of other guys to throw to because they're the Chiefs, right? I mean, it's just – and that's the thing. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with your point as far as if they make the playoffs, but it really does speak to what does it mean moving forward
For winning a championship, right.
Right. But in terms of where they go from here, you're right. I'm not sure what really happens these next couple of weeks that really dramatically changes the trajectory of the offseason. I mean, it's not to say they're in trouble, because they are going to get a bunch of guys back, and they still have Lamar Jackson, and they have the best tight end in football right now, and Mark Andrews, who, oh, by the way, has lost his starting quarterback and has put up monster numbers with quarterbacks that no one would have thought you could do such a thing with. And it really is a testament to him. But you do have to ask yourself these questions about these positions of need, these injured players who are coming back from more serious injuries. I mean, Marlon Humphrey has a torn pec. He'll come back from that. I don't know if Ronnie Stanley's going to come back and be the same player he was, especially now after going through two off seasons of rehab on this ankle injury. So, you know, you have all those different questions, but you still look at it and say, they still have a lot of talent when healthy on both sides of the ball. Now they certainly need to get better on the offensive line, specifically at tackle. They need to fortify that spot. You can't go into another year with Alejandro Villanueva as a starter. You just can't. It's not good enough at this stage of his career. But you know, you have the defensive line. Even if you decide to bring back one of those vets that we've talked about, you know, Campbell Williams, Derek Wolfe, whoever it might be, Justin Ellis, you certainly need to add more youth. You need to try to find a more impactful interior.
Man, you keep talking rusher. About this team, and I'm thinking, man, they were built to win this year, weren't they?
They were, but then I mean, every team has their flaws, though. And in the case of the defensive line, if you had Derek Wolfe in addition to the guys they've had, maybe it puts Justin Madubuike in a little more of a pitch count. Maybe he's a more impactful pass rusher. I mean, everyone, it's not just those guys you lose, but it's how they change other players' roles around them. I think, you know, that was something we talked about a lot with Patrick Queen earlier in the season. When they lose LJ Fort, that was a safety net, right? That was the player that the Ravens had that made it a little more, you know, a little easier to not have Patrick Queen on the field every single play or to have that safety net. Then they bring in Josh Bynes. Patrick Queen goes to the Will. And we haven't talked about it, but Patrick Queen's played really good football over the second half of the season. You know, I'm not going to say he's perfectly fixed compared to what the expectations were when he entered the league, but he's certainly playing at a much higher level than he had been. So, but all those injuries you have, all that attrition, it impacts not just the spot they play, but then it changes the role of other guys that, you know, aren't getting as much rest. We've talked about that with Calais Campbell, and look at how he's kind of, you know, broken down a little bit and faded.
As expected, dude.
Agree. When he has to play that much, yes. So that's why when you lose someone else, and then you're not just asking someone else to step in for Derek Wolfe, but it's also, all right, well, that guy's probably not going to play as much as Derek Wolfe. We're going to give five more snaps per game to Calais Campbell. It all adds up, right? So you look at that. So they have those questions. However, and you alluded to this, they still have a lot to feel really good about. Okay, Cincinnati is looking like they've arrived, right? I'm not ready to crown them, you know, that they're going to make it to the AFC Championship, but certainly Joe Burrow looks like the real deal. And it's got a nice assortment of weapons that completely torched a depleted secondary on Sunday. But Cleveland, all right, nice roster when healthy. Don't believe in Baker Mayfield at this point. And I know he's been banged up, but I'll eagerly take Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow over him. Pittsburgh, they have TJ Watt and some other really good players, but Ben Roethlisberger's at the end. What are they going to do? I mean, they're going to hand the keys to Mason Rudolph? I think it's evident at this point they're not going to do that, or nor should they. So how do they figure it out? Are they going to go try to trade for Aaron Rodgers? I have no idea.
You know,
but they need
crazy,
a quarterback.
This Russell Wilson to New York thing. Why wouldn't Russell Wilson work in Pittsburgh?
Well, and maybe, I mean, the big thing is their salary cap and how do you figure it out and what's the compensation going to look like?
Well, they give Roethlisberger $40 million a year. They're kind of used to that around there, right?
Sure. I mean, he's making way less than that now, but yeah. But the point is, until they do something like that, the Steelers are kind of a non-entity,
yes.
Right? I mean, they can do it in spurts, as we saw in the fourth quarter against the Ravens, but they can't do that week after week.
I think they'll do it in spurts 2 weeks from now. I think Roethlisberger will come in here at the end of the – I mean, we're going to get a shot out of him, whatever it is, and we're not going to have much. You know, Tom Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs running around out there. Yeah. He's thinking pitch and catch. I'm going to throw for 320 my final week, and I'm going to beat the Ravens and walk off the field a warrior. I mean, believe me, it is his Super Bowl. It is, because he's not going to play another real one.
Well, and you just said it. As much as we can look at the depleted secondary and say, all right, they're going to get some guys back, but it's not Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey and Deshaun Elliott. It's Chris Westry, who has looked like he can be a nice contributor for you, but he's played – two and a half, three games. I mean, he hasn't played much this year. Jimmy Smith's at the end. I think, if Jimmy Smith's available, he'll probably play, but I don't think they believe. We saw it in Pittsburgh. He couldn't run. He couldn't hang with their receivers. He's 33 years old. I mean, he shouldn't be that guy anymore if you look at it by age. So, you know, they'll get Geno Stone back. I mean, that secondary is going to struggle, and we've seen it struggle all year. It was struggling when Marlon Humphrey was back there. So what does that mean against the Rams? I'm not sure I want to find out that, quite frankly. What does that mean against, to your point, Ben Roethlisberger in the quite possibly, quite likely the last game of his career? We'll find out, you know, but as you mentioned, probably can expect to get the best that he has left, whatever that is at this point in time. So this team, even with getting some guys back from COVID and, you know, hoping to get Lamar Jackson back, and you hope you get Devin Duvernay back. And, oh, by the way, Patrick Ricard, their Pro Bowl fullback, has missed three games in a row now with a knee issue. So, yeah, they can get some of these guys back, but you're still looking.
These guys, you're even on the team anymore.
Yeah, but
you
know, but
you
it's
put
still,
the game on Sunday. You're like, I don't sit there and wonder where I didn't wonder where Nick Boyle was or where Patrick Ricard was. I don't miss Derek Wolfe. I'm not looking for Marcus Peters anymore. I don't think the Gus bus is coming in. I mean, these guys are like dead, you know, as far as football goes. They're not on my fantasy team. They're not on the field. Wake me when they're here. And I don't know, to your point, next year, whenever we get to that point where the real team's out there, it's going to be a wildly different thing than the thing we talked about all offseason, which was all of these players and the veteran of Calais Campbell and the Zeitler and the Villanueva and the, you know, all those pieces we talked about with 30 somethings. As we sit here a couple days after Christmas, I look up and I say, maybe it's the end for Brandon Williams. Yeah, maybe it's definitely the end for Jimmy Smith. You know, we start going through all of these names of guys that are gone. Then you're saying, okay, who's going to have those snaps next year?
Right, right. And look, a lot of guys coming back from injury will have those snaps. You know, I mean, like I said, Marlon Humphrey, a pectoral injury is not something that's going to ruin his career. You know, now in the same way that I'm concerned about Ronnie Stanley with the ankle. You know, so you look at these different injuries and you say, okay, you know, torn ACL for J.K. Dobbins. You don't want to discount that or diminish the challenge of coming back from that. But we've seen plenty of running backs, including here in Baltimore with Jamal Lewis, come back and be better than ever, at least as good as they were pre-injury. So you'll get guys back, but yeah, they're going to have questions. And in the meantime, you have guys who are making more money. You've got to figure out, you know, are you going to pay Lamar in the spring? He's under contract, guaranteed, you know, $23 million in 2022. So it's not as though there's a big issue there in terms of urgency that you must do it this spring. But there's also the question of how far down the road do you want to kick the can, and what does that mean for him and whoever's advising him from a contractual standpoint? So got a lot of decisions to make, but yeah, they still have some holes. You know, we talked about the Orlando Brown trade and what that meant for the offensive line, and you bring in Villanueva, and you know, whether you thought Ronnie Stanley was going to stay healthy or not, Villanueva, you know, it's, I think it'd be safe to say that hasn't worked out all that terribly well, you know, to put it mildly. So, you know, what does that mean? What do you do with him? What do you do with Patrick McCary? Are you going to make him a starter at right tackle? He's looked like he could be that guy, but can he stay on the field for 17 games? And I think that was a question that they had even before he played right tackle, when he was the backup center to Matt Skura. So, you know, all these different questions, answers, I don't think are coming in the next couple of weeks. But with all of that aside, they've got a chance to make the playoffs still over the next couple of weeks. And the Ravens want to make the playoffs, and John Harbaugh is going to be selling that. You know, they're not going to be talking about draft picks the way fans are. That's just not how they operate, nor should they operate that way. So we'll see what they're made of. We'll see if maybe they can uncover a nugget or two along the way, to borrow an expression from Buck Showalter. But we know that this is a roster that is very much incomplete now. Not by design, you know, just so much attrition, and hope to get COVID guys back. You hope no one else goes on the COVID list, but what are the odds of that? Who knows? But we'll see what happens. Buckle up. It's going to be an interesting couple weeks here, even if it's not going to result in a magical, long, Festivus-like run that we've seen here in the past.
I broke the news to my wife that I still have the Rams tickets and the Steelers tickets on my app. So there's $500 of tickets we still have out for this week. So who knows? We might be in the seats. She might be in the seats. Lamar might be in the seats. Who knows? Luke Jones will be in the seat that he's always in, out in Owings Mills, which is sometimes out in the cold with a swab up his nose. And that's this week. Next week is 2022. And we wish everybody a happy holiday, happy Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah if you were celebrating a couple of weeks ago, and certainly happy New Year as we wake up to a new year in a couple of days. But it's a holiday week. It's a little weird. Luke will be around all week. I'll be around all week. You can find us out on social media, Facebook and Twitter, and all sorts of places before we bring the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery back out to play at Nacho Mama's to start 2022. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.